NEMA. Nikan's going to roll out some stuff that's really going to blow us away. And how did he call it? Kind of some soft announcements. So we'll kind of wait and see for that. Mr. Grummer, did you make it on the line yet?
I have made it on the line.
Well, thank you. See, and I'm going to have to pick on you because you've been awake for a few hours, so I can't say like you're on the West Coast or in Hawaii, so it was like a tough thing to drag you out of bed.
Well, you know, you were talking about stress earlier, and the second greatest source of stress is waiting for the guest to show up on your call. That's what it is.
Well, not, you know, for most it would be that way, but I always have a few things up my sleeve. And then, and I actually got kicked off my own call because too many people were pushing buttons and it interfaced with this payphone that I'm on. But, you know, fortunately I've got some wonderful leaders that always rise to the occasion, like Ruth Williams and my mom, Cheryl Rogers, who always step in and take over. Roger, for sake of introduction for everybody, we kind of have the thing proper. By the way, for those of you who are jumping on the call, my name is Vance Rogers, and I get to host this thing every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. on the West Coast, and I still have people whining and complaining, saying, can't you make that later? That's really early. So welcome to you guys on the West Coast who are laying in bed and listening while you're still getting ready or putting on speakerphone. But, Roger, you've been with Nikan for a while in the mode or the role of a corporate speaker, one who is as an educator bringing more enlightenment to us who just don't know what Nikan's brought to the table as far as the technology, specifically in the arena of nutrition. Tell us a little bit about your background, specifically in the area of what you did formerly as an occupation and kind of what, you know, brought you up to being a part of Nikan today.
Well, I'm an herbalist. I'm a Chinese herbalist. I'm listed or licensed by the governing board of all Oriental medicine in the United States. And I have a unique background in that I didn't go to school for that, which is a requirement now, but I was actually an apprentice for a master herbalist in California for 8 years. And through that apprenticeship and through putting over 30,000 people on Chinese herb programs, I was able to gather letters of recommendation from doctors and that had apprenticed with me, that I had trained in herbalism, and my teacher, and was able to slip for the national exam and become a licensed. And so I have a unique background in that I practice Chinese medicine and I'm licensed for it, yet I came through the traditional way they do in China, that you learn it from somebody else.
In my junior high, you woke up one day and decided I want to be a Chinese herbalist, or how did you get to there?
Well, I still haven't decided I wanted to be a Chinese herbalist. No, it was very unique in that I honestly feel that I was chosen to do this because I had chronic fatigue. I was wandering around L.A. I moved to L.A. after a very traumatic accident. I was training for a triathlon, got hit by a truck. Was in the hospital for 8 days and then had to fly home to my parents' house from Hawaii to Ohio, where I live now, in a wheelchair, actually. And so in that recovery period, as soon as I got my cast off and was able to walk somewhat well enough to get around, I moved to L.A. to study shiatsu. I wanted to change my life direction. And while I was there, and besides that, the accident had thrown me into chronic fatigue. And so I had been developing that along the way because I was a practicing triathlete, but the accident just kind of was the last thing that drained the last bit of energy I had. So when I was studying shiatsu, I had found out about a Chinese herb shop in town that was owned by the former owner of the shiatsu school. So I thought if I could go there and become an apprentice, which he was, you know, known for taking apprentices, that I could learn not only something about herbs, but I could learn more about body work. And so I went there and just had some amazing experiences learning about herbs and had some really great results with my own chronic fatigue. And so I stuck around and became his apprentice and just learned Chinese herbology. And what was really fascinating about it was it wasn't centered on the medicine aspect, but more on the aspect of putting energy back into people that were worn out.
Now, I know there's a lot of people that when you talk about putting energy back into people, you were at one point, and if I remember when I first heard share your story in Missoula, Montana, at the Canadonna Hankins event. This was, what, a week before 9/11, so we're talking up on 5-6 years ago. You had shared that you were at one point in a wheelchair. Is that
right?
Okay, that was just during the recovery process of things?
That was during the recovery process of my accident.
Okay.
And
were you flagging the truck down that took you out, or I just have to ask?
Well, no, I was coming down a hill on my bicycle, and a truck was sitting there waiting to turn left, and then turned left the instant I got to the intersection. And so I ran into the truck with my bike and was thrown into the windshield and rolled over the truck and down the street.
So maybe auditioning for like a stunt role in a movie or something?
Stunt role, yeah. It was quite an amazing thing. And so, I ended up in the hospital for 8 days and had a various amount of injuries.
And for people that have never seen you in person, you are not vertically challenged like myself. You're 6 what?
I'm 6'2".
Okay, so you're very tall. And what is your current body weight?
165.
Okay, so by American standards today, people would say you're anorexic, you need to go have a steak or eat some pie or something like that.
By Midwestern standards, I am pretty skinny.
I just had to throw that in there. So people have an idea of where you're at today. And at one point, were you ever, out of filter as far as, have you always been most of your life at that ideal weight?
Well, no, when I was 20 years old, I weighed 267 pounds.
267?
It was the same height.
Okay. I don't need you to explain how that works, but... So they would say 100 pounds more than you are today.
Yes.
Okay. Now, through the process of studying and self-examination, did the weight just start coming off, or was there more of a...
No, I decided to go on a diet when I was 20 years old. This was about 6 years before I got into health.
Okay.
And I had just gotten really... I had quit smoking. I was a 2.5 or so pack of Marlboro a day guy. And I had quit smoking and gained 35 pounds in about a month, and I was fat before that, so gaining the extra 35 pounds wasn't much effort, but I just decided on that New Year's that I was going to lose weight, and I started to do it, and I did a lot of fasting and a lot of water, drank a lot of water, went on a semi-vegetarian diet, ate a lot of vegetables, basically. I lost 120 pounds. The total I lost was 125 pounds. I went all the way down to 142, which is kind of frightening considering that it's 25 pounds less almost than what I weigh now.
Well, it's frightening considering that's exactly what I weigh, and I'm 5'6¾". So
yeah, and so I was really
saying I'm 5'7" anymore because we checked, and she's 5'7" and I'm shorter than she is, but. Roger, so that's your history of getting into the arena of discovering how the body, the energy is there. You just got to figure out how to tap into ways to bring it out. How did Nikan come along?
Nikan came along because I had been practicing herbalist for probably at that time 10 or 11 years, and I made some great contacts in the health industry, and I was doing talks for other companies on nutrition, and some good friends of mine that I had met through doing talks around the United States, started a mushroom farm. And they were growing medicinal mushrooms, and they were wanted to bring a product out into the health industry that could make an amazing effect on the immune system. And during this process, they also wanted to find a really good company to bring it out in, because, so many companies today start up and they're gone in a half a year, and they don't really have a history of stability. And so their first goal was to find a stable company that they knew would be around forever just to market one of their products, and that's how they came to know Nikan. It was through that process of looking at company history and stability and a company's ability to be around in the future that they took the product to Nikan, and that's how the bio-directed immunity burst into form.
Which brings me to an that I need to make here, and that is, so people clearly understand, Nikan does not manufacture any of the products that we bring to the it's going to conveniently work into the whole woman's home concept, and then there the marriage is birthed. And Deakin has done that with dozens of companies over the years. And you talk about the strong history, being around for 30 plus years and doing business now in 38 countries. We definitely have a strong marriage that will last a good long while. We've had the immunity formula for what? We're going on, what, 4 or 5? Maybe 6, 7 years now?
Well, we met at that talk right before 9/11, and so it came out on the market just a few months before that. So,
and
what about,
I know I had greatly enjoyed the aspects of that being in India a week and a half prior to meeting you in Montana, and I wish I would have taken a bit more with me rather than just my regular daily supply, because it would have greatly counteracted the, counteracted, I guess, the effects of the curry that I had taken into my system that came back to haunt me. Anyway, but that's a whole subject in itself. So, Roger, as we go forward in this, let's talk about some of the issues that are facing our culture today. And I know from the conversation that you and I had a few weeks ago, the subject of E. coli, the subject of MSG, these are a hot spot to you because it's affected your family, especially the E. coli with your daughter. But you are notorious when you get up to speak, and it's one of the, I don't know if it's the encore speech that everybody likes to hear, but the study that takes place every year with shopping cart handles, gas station, pump handles, and bowling ball, I believe it is.
Bowling ball.
But what do all three of those have in common so we understand why our bodies need something like Deakin's immunity?
Well, they've proven in countless studies that 100% of those have human fecal matter on them. And that I use as part of my talk because it's a great example of the fact that we are exposed to things we have no idea of every single day. You know, the United States, we've become, one of the great things about it is we have so many freedoms and we have so many choices of activities out there to do. But the drawback of that is that we're exposed to so many other people using the same facilities and the same things in America. And one of the things I love to talk about in my talks is awareness of different things and statistics on different health. And one of them is that over half the country never washes its hands when they go to the bathroom. And then when you think about the fact that we share so many things now because we're all out in public using gas handles and golf carts and shopping carts and all these different things, we're all touching the same things, and we get exposed to, thousands of bacteria and viruses that we would normally never think we come in contact with, and that is one of the reasons why we have to have a very strong immune system. In my case, you talked about E. coli. My daughter and my whole family, every one of us, was involved with the E. coli spinach craze that went around last September. My daughter almost died. She spent 12 days in intensive care, and we didn't think she was going to live for 8 of those days. It was on the evening of the 8th day that we thought she was going to live. And so we had moved into intensive care. I know one of the reasons why she's still alive today is because we feed her so well, and we were taking care of to make sure that she took really great food in her system that was really nutritious, that she had some vitamins in her system. She ate fruits and different little supplements of fruit extract that really boost immune function. All these different things really determined how strong she was when she got that particular imbalance and how quickly she came out of it. You know, she was in intensive care for 10 of the 12 days she was in, and then 2 more days just staying in the hospital, still hooked up the tubes. She had 5 blood transfusions while she was in the hospital. And I know that if we had, and the amazing thing about it is that she had this E. coli for 3 days before we got her in the hospital. Most kids die in the first 3 days of having it.
Now, that being said, the subject is very much close to home, obviously, because it's not often that, we know somebody that, can share a story of that. But I remember from years ago up in the Seattle area where the Jack in the Box restaurant really got plagued and almost became an end of that whole, fast food franchise because several people, kids, had died and passed away. What is the typical Western medicine way to resolve that?
as far as E. coli, there's no treatment for E. coli, just so everybody knows that. Absolutely nothing. It just depends on your state of health when you get it as to what will happen to you. And they can't treat it while you're having it. You're basically left up to however much life force you have when you get the illness. And that's why everybody, almost everybody that gets it over 70 or under 3 dies from it. Because they don't have the immune system at that point to fight it off, or the amount of, you know, strength in their body to fight something that virulent off. You can't give an antibiotic for it, even though it would kill it off, because the toxic kill off of it would overload your kidneys even more and probably just shut them down and kill you. And so it's basically the one of the great examples of an illness that you are left to your own body's strength to get through it.
And the way to improve your body's strength to get through something like this, and we're talking a very small percentage, but obviously it's not so small in your mind and in your wife's mind and in your daughter's mind, because the whole family went through it. So you guys are like, well, no, it's not a small percentage for us.
Well,
for the rest of the population of the world, you're like, well, you know, it's kind of like malaria here in the States. It doesn't really affect them, isn't yet, but in Africa and other Asian countries where it's very prominent, I'm concerned about things like that, because my daughter and my wife are headed to Indonesia here in a couple of weeks. So we have issues. But utilizing the subject that we've already mentioned, the 9/11, and Dave Stoltzfus came up with an excellent analogy, and maybe he stole it from you, or maybe he came up with it on his own, that, you know, a terrorist level in our country has been raised, and our bodies are no different. That with all the stuff that's out there, you know, with bone balls, you know, human fecal matter, for those of you who are my, you know, high school upbringing, that's called poop, you know, because you didn't catch that. And that's being exposed to that, people not washing their hands and touching everything, and the exposure to that, we literally have to raise the immune level in our bodies and make the immune system formula. What's something, and I mentioned this before, the subject of the ingredient MSG, monosodium glutamate, which is basically in anything that's canned. People used to always say, well, it's just a Chinese food. No. Anything that you start looking at labels, if it's in a can, more than likely it's got MSG in it. Why is that such a big threat to our bodies as far as our immune system is carrying it down?
Well, I'll tell you, I think MSG is one of the plagues of the 20th century. I mean, it is something that no one thinks is dangerous, yet I think causes some of the most debilitating and family-destroying diseases known to man, which is Alzheimer's, dementia. It's linked to Parkinson's disease. It's an ingredient that's put into food for only one reason, and that is make it taste good. If you mix MSG with cardboard in the right amount, cardboard would taste good. That's why they put it into food. And so it allows you to have the lowest quality of food that is actually edible. And so you can make great profit off of it and sell a lot of products. The other thing about MSG is that it creates an addictive taste. Once it gets into your taste buds, it creates a craving for that taste. And that has become another taste category. For all you people out there that are cooks, whenever you look at categories now of flavor, there's a new category called savory. Savory means MSG. It means MSG added to something to make it savory.
So before we had sweet, sour, and salty, right?
Yeah, now you have savory, which is MSG. The problem with MSG is that when you take it in that concentrated form, it directly is uptake by the body, goes and it passes the blood-brain barrier. This is what makes it so dangerous, and floods your brain. Now, when it floods your brain, they now know that within a minute and a half, it kills millions of neurons in your brain. It's classified as an excitotoxin, meaning it excites the neurons to fire so rapidly that they fall over dead within a minute and a half. And when they fall over dead, that's just the beginning of it. Not only has it killed the neurons, but it creates so much oxidative stress in the brain that then moves out through the rest of the brain and destroys other neurons. of well-packaged food now. You go to a fast food restaurant, you're eating MSG. You buy Campbell soup, Swanson, chicken broth, all these things are loaded with MSG. And every single day, they say the average person is eating between 20 and 30 grams of MSG a day that they don't know about in their diet. Now, if you want to know how much that is, that's an entire bottle of capsules of the bio-directed immunity that you take every day that's pure MSG. That's how much that is.
Okay.
So, you get that in your system. Yeah. Go ahead.
We're consuming it. Well, I want to try and, you know, it's like you hear statistics like this. I mean, we can't avoid shopping. We can't avoid touching things like bowling balls, you know, unless you're a bowler, you know, gas pump handles, unless you live in the state of Oregon and you don't get to pump your own gas. But we've got all of these factors, I mean, an onslaught literally attacking our body in the form of MSG, in the form of, you know, junk that's out there that's literally combating us at every turn. There is hope. I mean, we're not going to, you know, leave this call on the highly negative side and say, you know, we just might as well throw in the towel now and go, you know, move to the mountains and live in a cave or something so we don't have contact with anybody or eat anything that comes out of a can. Because we, you know, that's not life. However, we can make some serious choices like you did, you know, years ago, 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. You make a choice and say, hey, this is destroying my body. I'm going to make a difference. It's making the choice to go more onto the organic side. And you may spend a little bit more. However, your body's going to thank you for it in the long run. I mean, you talk about Parkinson's and dementia and all these other things that are affecting our population. And the rates are going up and up and up. And I, every time I hear about something or someone coming down with some form of cancer, you know, some other debilitating disease, I always want to know what causes that. Because I don't want that. So what can we do to prevent that? And, you know, my mom's answer and so many others have said this, that you know, shop at the grocery store, just avoid the middle. Stay around the outside perimeter. And, it's, you know, that seems like a simple solution, but you can say, well, what about the stuff we have to get from the middle? Well, you know, just begin. And there are so many sources besides, you know, what we have in the bio-directed nutritional line, so many sources like wild oats and yeah, there's health food stores and nutrition stores that are bringing this stuff. I read an article out of Time Magazine. A family in outside of Dallas, Texas, they made the decision to switch all of their cattle over to organic. And it created a huge, I mean, they're making more money now than they ever were before because they switched over and they've got all these people, this huge clientele list of people that say, well, you know, that's all we want is your meat because it's organic, it's got the junk in it. No hormones, all that stuff. Roger, I want to take a deviation here and turn in the few minutes that we have left. In that we know we have to make some aggressive steps. In that it's not that big of a deal. It's just tweaking things here and tweaking things there to combat this. Because I watch people. I'm out at a men's camp right now. There's probably 150 of us. And I'm watching the poor choices that are, you know, on the buffet line for every meal. Watching and looking at size. Size does matter. I'm looking at guys that are shorter than I am that weigh three times as much as I do. And I'm not just attacking the subject of obesity alone, but I know it's in those poor choices. So we can make different choices. When it comes to making the immunity specifically, the model basically says, you know, two capsules per day will do the trick. Will that really do the trick, or should we be taking them?
Well, you know, that is a what they call a maintenance dose, and that's what you normally get in any bottle of supplements that you get, is a maintenance dose. Now, except for multivitamins. Multivitamins are basically a set dose of certain, you know, within certain parameters for those vitamins that you kind of stick with. But with the bio-directed immunity, you have to look at your own system and what's going on. You have to look at your history of illness during the year, how often you catch certain things, what you're exposed to, whether you have small children that are exposed to things. All of these things make up, with your age in particular, how much immunity you would need. And I always say that when you first start the product, you should do at least three twice a day for a month or maybe even 2 months just to build your immune system up. and then you can go on more of a maintenance dose. And it just depends on the time of year. If you're somebody that gets things in the fall every year, you get chest colds or bronchitis or a flu in the winter, you really want to start upping your dose around September or maybe even August and really boost and keep it up during that time to ward that off. If you're someone who gets a lot of allergies in the spring, you want to load for a couple months before you go into that. It all depends on your level of health and, again, your exposure to things and how much stress you have in your life.
Yeah, Roger, I've got a bunch of testimonies that are flooding my mind right now, and I think of myself when I travel. I'm not speaking, and usually when I go out, I'm out for like 5 days, maybe a week's time. And usually, especially most of the time, staying in people's homes, which I absolutely love and I appreciate, but the problem with that is I end up staying up late and getting up early for breakfast meetings or whatever. And so lack of sleep definitely starts to, you know, take its toll on my body. And I cannot tell you how many countless times getting on the plane to come back home, and all of a sudden I feel that tickle in my throat, start feeling the kind of the yucky crud coming on, and yet inevitably, every single time, my way to counteract that is making sure I've got, you know, stocked up on the immunity formula, but I'll take it as an extra step, and most people will find this completely disgusting, and they'll write me off, and I'll probably never jump back on the call again because they'll think Vince has lost it. However, taking the capsules and popping them open and dumping them under my tongue, now, is that something you recommend, or am I just off my rocker? Because the reason why I've discovered every 2 to 3 hours, if I'll dump another capsule underneath my tongue, within 12 to 24 hours, whatever was coming on me is totally completely gone.
Well, you know, when you dump it out in your mouth, you're going to absorb it much quicker. And, you know, in Chinese herbology, they say that when you put an herb in your mouth, it starts to work even before it ever hits your stomach, because of the flavors involved in it. But no, you have the right idea. It's just, I know, I have testimonials just like you, and my own particularly, of when you feel something coming on and you really boost the amount that you're taking, and you do it throughout the day, generally within a day you kick it out. I had an unbelievable experience this winter with bio-directed immunity myself. I had actually run out of it, had the pharmacopeia box, and when I had it here, I had got a bronchitis, which when I was growing up and I was a heavy smoker, I got bronchitis 2 or 3 times a year. And I would always end up on antibiotics and I'd just be out of it for a week. And so I know the feeling when it's coming, and I started to bring that stuff up out of my lungs. And I got my box and I started taking 15 of them a day. And within 2 days, I was done. The whole thing was gone out of my system. I was like looking at my wife thinking, that is just amazing that I wasn't in bed for 7 days. Because that's how easily my lungs develop that, because lungs are my weak point. And so I know it works. And generally, though, you're supposed to take it every day to build your immune system, but the great thing about it can double almost as a medicine when you're coming down with something or when you have something, just to kick it out of your body.
You know, you and I both share testimonies of coming. Stuff coming on and dealing with it to basically turn it around. Not to cure it, but to turn it around and to basically accelerate the body's ability to heal itself. I know that one of the greatest questions that always comes, and I'm sure you get this all the time, that when speaking, when you're going to do something, what's the recommendation? Because I know what I do with our girls. However, what do you tell people we are specifically with the immune formula?
Perfectly safe for kids to take. I give it to everyone. My kids have taken it. When they're really little, they probably only need a cap, and you can put it into applesauce and mix it around. I have some loquat syrup that I use as a cough syrup if the kids need it, and I'll mix mushroom caps and a little bit of that in a cup and throw it around because it'll cover the face of about just anything, and they love to take that. And it's just, it's not harmful to kids in any way. And in fact, it's one of the perfect things, even just giving them a cap a day, somehow in their diet, for kids that are, especially little kids that are going to preschool or first grade, that area of their life, always picking up every single thing and bringing it home to you.
It's a kind of a gift that keeps on giving, isn't it?
It's a gift that keeps on giving. Every epidemic that goes to the school comes to my house, you know.
Yeah, well, I mentioned in my study last night, but yeah, I'm trying to get you didn't want to be anywhere near her because her breath would just pass you, you know, after that. However, here we are in the end of April, going into May, at the school year, it's up and gone, and I can absolutely 100% honestly not stretch it, exaggerating the truth. Either one of our daughters, 8 and 5 years old, either one of them got sick at all this year. I mean, maybe a runny nose after we went up skiing, but that's part of the course. I'm just freezing up.
Wow.
And yet, neither one of them. And all we do is I used to mix it in with the Aga and the Shade. But I don't do that anymore. They both know that nothing's wrong. So they get, you know, their morning ritual is half an ounce of the Aga, half a teaspoon of the Shade, green sun, and then one of the immunity. And they take that first thing in the morning, before about 15, 20 minutes before they eat breakfast, and I talked it up to them. Literally brought them on the system for the day, so they're going into it. And they're not going to deal with it. No.
But if, you know, the other great thing about that is that you're starting them off on a pattern of awareness of their own health. And starting them off being aware of making right choices. And believe me, a lot of people miss this. We're in charge of creating a change in the way that generations view nutrition. Not as being viewed as something that's oddball or out on the fringe, but something that's just part of everyday life. That you take things in your body that are good for you. And that determines your longevity and your enjoyment of life is all wrapped up in that. And so it just becomes a habit for them. That's what health has to become. It's just your daily habit. It's no longer hard to do it. It's just what you do.
And I know that Eric Schlosser, which I'm sure you've wrote the book called Fast Food. It's not about fast food, it's about our culture. And so we get these massive trends of chips to a cookie cutter society in every way. And I didn't have the opportunity here to speak at a diabetes function. It was important to help you to go up the counter. We were able to make it, but we were out of counter. But I'll never forget, because my goal for the time was the important thing that he said, and all said and done, was that parents, grandparents, the best thing that you can do for yourself, for future generations, to plant the garden, somehow, some way, allow your kids to see where the food comes from. And then this way, in turn, can allow them to make those good choices. You know, I had a friend of mine that was a friend of ours that came up from Ohio. She had been in Columbus a few months ago. She's on her way out, and she had a layover fairly with us. I can't remember now. But she said, she called me and said, she affectionately refers to Billy Bob. Billy Bob, like, I remember, you either have a love affair or a hate affair with donuts. The Krispy Kreme donut shop here. And it's one that I hate them. I have since I was a kid. And it really is. It's that song. And I said, well, it's something like this. I actually enjoy eating that from time to time, but I don't like to check 45 minutes. And both of our daughters, our youngest hasn't quite missed there yet, but our oldest, even to the 5 or 3 or 4 years ago, really understood the concept of, you know, I don't want to put that because I don't like to guarantee that's right.
You know, the whole thing about educating people about choices, though, you see this every day. People aren't aware that the illnesses and the imbalances that they have are generally caused by their own habits. I was flying to my last Nikon talk, and I was sitting across the aisle of a plane from a man who was about 150 pounds overweight. And he wasn't in shape at all. You could just tell by his body shape. Really dark circles under his eyes. He really looked unhealthy, and yet he was under 40. He looked, I mean, his health, you could just tell in a glance, was really poor. And his snack on the plane, our flight was only an hour and a half long. He had a big gulp, which is one of those 69-ounce soda pops. And he had 5 Krispy Kreme donuts in a bag. And he ate all 5 of them.
Sure was a Diet Coke or something like that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, think about the amount of, if I ate one of those things, I just would fall asleep within a half hour from sugar overload. That's what it does to me. I can't even eat it. And yet he ate 5 of them on the flight. And that's his form of, you know, that's what's feeding his brain to keep him up was the sugar rush and the caffeine. So, I mean, he has no idea what he just did to himself. did, he probably grew up without any awareness that what you put in your mouth actually creates your, the health of your cells and your body. And he's basically just poisoning himself.
And I don't know if I've shared this illustration with you at all, but it's worth sharing. In that a few weeks ago, we were together at a family birthday party with friends. My brother, Samantha, I think my father marked and I don't. So I'm like, really? And he's a victim, and not a victim, possibly. I'll talk it up with that. A lot of people just don't know any better because nobody's ever, they've never even thought about it. You and I eat a donut and sugar down just about a little bit. But I said, well, Nick, why would you say that? And, well, the other day I'm watching him eating four bowls of Cheerios and didn't get the edible off. The butter and bowl in this microwave. Nuked it. And then takes the bowl of butter and four bowls of Cheerios and set down. And I said, well, Nick, in his defense, maybe there was no milk. Nope, I checked. There was milk in the fridge. And, you know, I shared that story with my father-in-law, and his response was, well, Cheerios are good for you. They're anti-cholesterol. They help bring down your cholesterol to bucket. And I just said, well, Dad, come on. At what point is the butter off the Cheerio? Well, yeah, I guess you got a point there, but that really does sound kind of good, doesn't it?
No, this is what cracks me up about how they allow Cheerios to run a commercial that someone dropped their cholesterol 7 points in like 3 months from eating Cheerios. But you would have suffered from eating Cheerios for 3 months for 7 rounds plus on your cholesterol. Maybe if you just walked outside and walked around with flat twice, you could do the same thing and not have to eat Cheerios.
Which again pretty much tastes like cardboard, you know.
Yeah. Unless you throw a stick of butter on them. They allow people to make those claims, and yet they go after the vitamin and health industry for saying things that are actually true about nutritional supplements.
Of course, of course. Because we won't want anybody to combat the pharmaceutical industry, because then we would tap into several $1 billion that are being aligned to people's pockets. Anyways, that's a whole other subject. Roger, is there one thing that we can wrap this up today? I want to be sensitive to people's minds and whatnot, so we get off to a good start. Is there one thing that you would encourage people with as far as wellness goes? What should we be doing, or what should we be doing in the big more of an aggressive stance personally and with the biodirected nutrition immune formula? That we could be doing to up the education levels of our own staff and then sharing with other people without making medical claims. But what is the one challenge that you would face with us to say, hey, you guys, you got to do it, get out there and share?
Well, you know, one of the things I always talk about is just awareness of health. And making people aware of just the little things that they can do to change their health, which makes all the supplements and all the products they take work better. The only way that you can share that is to become a wealth of information yourself. And right now, there's so much information in Newsweek and Time and things that are coming out on just everyday things about health, where research that they're doing that you can use yourself to educate yourself and to share with people. And the great thing about it is that you're showing them something that's written up in a national publication that everybody knows about, so it makes it more powerful for them. And to really get out and, you know, be examples of your own health regimen. You know, the fact that you're in a great mood all the time, that you seem robust, you're happy to be, you know, people are happy to be around you, is what really sells the idea of nutrition. You know, that it's changed your life. They can see by being around you that you have this extra vitality and energy. So become an example of your own product, an example of your own philosophy and health, that you're out there sharing this with great enthusiasm, and that's what wins people over. And so I think that's the greatest thing that you can do for them. They get overwhelmed by statistics, and they get overwhelmed with thinking they have to change so much, but what they all gravitate toward is your own radiance and your own enthusiasm about what you're doing. They want something of about sharing, you're not just sharing information and sharing product. You're basically sharing what it's done for you through your own level of what I call radiance and enthusiasm. And that's what's the great thing about health. And health, on its really deeper level, is about helping you to feel as great as you possibly can so that you have that radiance, because that's what you were born to do in life, was to throw your light out into the world. And you can more readily do that or accomplish that when you feel good, because that feeling good is really your body coming into a state of balance, or homeostasis, that state of basically balanced health, where you can really tap into who you really are and tap into your own light and throw it out into the world. And I think that's really the real reason that to work a business like this or to get into this field of health. It's really all about what you were born to do anyway, and that is to go out and share your own light and throw it out into the world.
Well, Roger, I want to thank you. You had earlier been don't know what you want to see when you grow up, and be a journalist or what. But I think we can all take that as a talk it up as a lesson, and just what you shared, that we make a decision to change our mental and our outlook, what we're literally giving up, and not all play, but all the negative statistics and everything out there. Because it is.
Guys, with that,